WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the WWE Payback post-show here on the WTR Network. This is the be-all, end-all of our little network, the Omega, the first stage of hell for tonight. And we have our second stage, Lindsay.
I refuse to accept that.
Why?
I am not a stage of hell. I am just hell. I refuse a label.
Come on, play along or you're going to blow Mace's intro.
Fine. I is the second layer of hell.
And if you somehow survive her, you won't. We have a third stage of hell tonight. Mace.
I'm sorry, but the stage of hell you are trying to load at the moment is not available. Please try again later.
God damn it.
Oh, they just don't play along, do they? Anyway.
No, I played along. I just made a joke that pretty much just all of us get.
Yeah, pretty much. Hi, everybody.
What, the producer doesn't get an intro?
Yeah, I never get an intro on the show. I just start talking because that's what I do.
He's the producer.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he's the producer.
I'm just the producer. I don't do very much around here. Anyway, hi, everybody. This is WrestleTalk Radio, as everyone heard, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. We had a pay-per-view, and it was long, and it was really, really good for a lot of the show.
For a lot of the show?
Until we got to the main event.
I don't know.
All right, the beginning of the main event.
Thank you.
There you go. That better?
Yes.
Okay. So if you are at the show and you're listening to this, call 267-297-1397. We'll take your phone calls. Anyone, if you were at the show, watch the show, well, we want your opinion on tonight's show because, well, we're interactive and that's what we do. We're going to give away prizes later on tonight for the Pick'em Challenge. Two people won, even with the tiebreaker.
Oh, good Lord.
Two people won, so stay tuned to find out if you
okay, so that means that we're going to have to put both of them in a pit and it's a fight to the death?
Yes.
Yes! Sweet!
It's going to get downright dirty tonight. And then The Rock will offer you some money, and then you decide if you actually want to compete in that event.
Bullshit. Do you know how much people in gladiatorial pits make? They're taking the money.
Anyway, the the show started to... What? Go ahead. Or not?
What? Go ahead.
I thought you were going to make... You sounded like you had a comment to make.
No.
Sounded like you're trying to... Anyway. See, I want to make sure you got your opinion out there, Omega. Unlike other people.
I get to have that?
Yes, you get to have that on the show. Did you not realize this?
Oh my god.
I know, it's amazing.
It's like there's a whole new world open to me.
Yes, can we all play nice for one show, please?
But, it's so much fun when we don't.
It's a holiday.
Yeah, so?
Not for me, it isn't. Game on.
Anyway.
I'll play nice for the next hour.
No. Nice until the show goes off the air.
Rock, end the show and restart it.
Good
I'll just
everybody.
Put it back on there. You can't silence me.
No, we can't.
They put you in a cage for the night. Shut up.
That won't keep me quiet.
Depends on where the cage is.
Still won't keep me quiet. You underestimate how loud and high-pitched I can scream.
She can.
I can make sounds only dogs can hear.
I don't think that'll do you a lot of good in that situation.
You have a dog.
I have a dog, yes. The dog is on my side.
No, if I give it to
you. Has your dog met Lindsay yet?
Not yet, no.
Well, once it does, it will be on Lindsay's side, probably.
Probably. Especially if I give it treats.
Omega's thinking, how to keep the dog on my side.
He's now going to be plotting that the rest of the night, so it should distract him.
Come on.
Anyway, there was a pay-per-view.
where the fans wanted ice cream. At least before the show, and during the pre-show, they were chanting, "We want ice cream, we want ice cream." But the show started off with Payback Kickoff, not a pre-show, it's a kickoff. Because you have Sheamus and Damian Sandow actually starting off the pre-show kickoff at the start. Like, no waiting, it actually happened. Right off the bat, Sheamus, Damian Sandow. Who saw it?
Well, they had to get it in at the start because they had to fit that commercial break in there.
Oh, that's right. There was a commercial break during that, yeah. That was kind of weird. If free show gets a commercial in the middle of a match when the whole show is a 30-minute commercial. I'm trying to figure that out.
At least they didn't eat Hardee's the entire time.
Yo, dog, I heard you liked commercials in your commercials?
I seriously, who puts commercials in a 30-minute webcast?
I know, I put them in a 10-minute toy review.
Well, that's you. That is you. Where you can find Omega on his, you know, YouTube shows at youtube.com/TJOmega.
Oh, the cheap whoring begins.
It really, really does. And as we'll get, there was a sign that says people miss Lita during the show. So.
No, they don't.
In Chicago, how
did they miss Lita? Did the scope not line up correctly?
No.
Ba-dum-ching.
No guy who's ever taken a shot at Lita has missed.
There was also a Chris Benoit guy in the audience tonight.
Yeah, oh my god.
That was an amazing shirt.
Oh, god.
Yeah, there's a
How'd you get that one through security?
It's called You Wear
That's
Another Shirt.
That's what I'm wondering.
It's called You Wear Another
I'm
Shirt.
I'm surprised we didn't see security grab that guy and just, like, drag him off in the middle of the show. It's like, screw that.
Screw that.
You watch that shirt get blurred on the DVD, by the way.
Oh, without question.
Oh, yeah.
Without question. Anyway, we had a match, Sheamus and Damian Sandow. It was pretty good, actually. They gave it actual time, unlike the 4 minutes it's been been given the last few months on the pre-show.
Well, clearly, this is why they needed the commercial.
Clearly. They gave it more time because of the commercial.
But still, it was a really good match.
And Damian Sandow was over, and the fans didn't want anything to do with Sheamus.
So, a standard night in the WWE?
Especially in Chicago.
Well, you know, normally you don't have Damian over that much. Though, yeah, the crowds have been kind of lukewarm on Sheamus because, God, he's getting stale.
Especially as a babyface.
Fella.
And speaking of that fella, he wins the match with the bro kick on poor Damian Sandow.
So, it's okay, Damian. We still
like him. As you can see, that surprised absolutely none of us.
I know. I know. No one was surprised that actually Sheamus won a match on free pay-per-view. So, that sort of thing happens. We then actually move to the actual show. We open up with an Intercontinental Championship match. Wade Barrett versus The Miz versus Curtis Axel. Thoughts, Omega?
Going to reserve thoughts on the ending? For now, I will say not a bad opener.
Not a bad opener, okay.
No.
Alright.
It does make me wonder what they originally had planned with Fandango.
It does. But we'll get into that in a minute. Mace, thoughts on the match?
Ickety-ackety-oop.
Okay, those aren't actually words, Mace. We're looking for language communication here.
To be honest, I don't even. I know I saw the match. I don't remember a goddamn thing.
All right, let's start
with. I know it had Curtis, whatever you want to call him this time, because I'm not gonna fuck up the name again.
Like you did Thursday.
He's in the ring. He's in the ring. Oh look, he slides in and finish. What?
Huh? We'll get to
Twitter.
We'll get to the finish in a minute. Lindsay, thoughts on the match?
I thought it was a really nice match. Very competitive. Good opener.
Yeah, it was a strong opener. Surprisingly, I didn't expect much from this match, and they really did surprise me. And then we get to the finish. The finish had The Miz lock in the figure four on Wade Barrett. Barrett was crawling to the ropes, got pulled back into the center, and then we had Curtis Axel slide into the ring and cover Wade Barrett for the victory. Omega.
I'm not going to say it was a bad finish, because it was kind of clever, and it was sneaky heel way for Curtis Axel to win. Mm-hmm. I will forego any argument that he's still very new to the public eye, and while he has been around a while, he's still new to the audience and maybe not supposed to hold a belt this fast when he's still trying to establish his character.
Okay.
That all aside.
Oh, here it comes.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
Alright, why are you claiming bullshit?
When you have someone in a figure four and their shoulders are down, the one applying the figure four is accounted for covering the opponent. That's one of the things of the figure four traditionally is, well, if he starts putting his back down to try and relieve some of the weight, he's got his shoulders to the mat, one, two, and he's got to kick himself back up and let the pressure be applied again. That's part of what makes it a dynamic hold when you actually use it correctly. The point is, if the victim's shoulders are down, it counts as a pinning situation. So, you know, I made the argument in the chat, and I don't know how clearly the argument comes across. If Miz was putting on just a standard old crossbody pin, and couldn't get his shoulders down. Curtis Axel comes in and pins on top of Miz. Miz is still the first one there. You wouldn't count the pinfall for Axel. Technically, Miz was the one who had the pin.
But doesn't another guy jumping on top, pinning him, supersede all that?
Not really.
It could.
It's the one who got there first. It doesn't matter how the shoulders got down. The pinning predicament that was on first is the one that should supersede.
But Miz let go of the figure four at the two count.
Okay, then this count should have started over then.
But it didn't. It just led to...
This is why I count bullshit.
But it's not. It happened where...
Technically, Rock Omega is correct.
Thank you.
And clip.
Hey, I'm fine with that one getting out. That's fine. Compared to some of the other clips you've got on me, that's the fucking easiest. Yeah, in that situation, Omega is correct. When Miz released the figure four, the count should have started over instead of going to three. Because that constitutes a separate pinning situation.
What the WWE logic has it... The man gets funded.
No. See, you're automatically wrong because you use those words. WWE logic. That's exactly where you go wrong. Whatever you say after that is just wrong.
All right, as I read the WWE rulebook provided to me by WWE, when the on top of the man while the submission hold is applied, the man on top gets the fall.
Okay, so now can we read the 7,000 asterisks that are after that stating that... This situation causes this. This situation causes that. This situation causes the balloon to be launched from space.
Yeah, seriously, we don't even have time enough in this show to cover the dusty finish clause.
But I'm just going by what it says, and this is what happened. This is how
in the rule book that you have vaporized out of thin air.
Yes, it does exist.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, I'm saying you don't have it.
Yes, I do.
To be honest, I don't even think WWE has a rule book. They're still using the Wikipedia page.
I'll give you a little heads up. Later on, we see a submission hold that counts as a pinball. Spoiler alert, they contradicted themselves in the same goddamn pay-per-view.
Well, you can't really argue with that.
Can't really argue with that one, but you know, but there wasn't a third man, so that shouldn't even come into play. Anyway,
less high.
If you're good with WWE rules, just call in and give us your thought on the rules.
No. Not if you're good with WWE rules. If you are a former or current WWE referee, call us to clarify this and have your rulebook handy.
Have that rulebook
Jimmy
handy.
Corderas, where are you when I need you? I saw your tweet. You have my back.
Did you tweet him?
I should have.
You should.
Dude, call this number. Back me up.
Go do that. You have the power of the Twitter. Someone get little Nate on the phone. If we only had the ability. Hey, I do have a referee I can call, but he didn't work for WWE, so it really doesn't help.
Can I get Nick Patrick? I can pay him off to agree.
If you have his number, we can get a hold of Nick Patrick.
Somebody get Earl.
So it would end up being Earl, screwed, Barrett, or Miz at this point. Miz should be, in Omega's mind, Miz should be the Intercontinental Champion.
He's the only one there who had any right to hold it. Barrett's got a losing streak longer than anyone in the WWE right now, and Curtis is way too new to have it.
Okay, Miz should go out and get David Otunga, a copy of the WWE rulebook, and argue against Paul Heyman. So you have Otunga versus Heyman in a legal battle.
Miz needs a trip to DC.
Because Omega doesn't trust David Otunga.
No. Because he's following in the steps of Jericho.
I know. That was a great promo he did years ago in front of the White House.
Any WCW Jericho promo was amazing.
For the most part. When he actually got to do be creative, yeah. So, long story short, as Lindsay's trying to read over the rule book and not giving us any answers.
I haven't been called upon yet.
Alright, Lindsay, you've been brought to the stand. Now testify.
Keep in mind, you're my secretary that supersedes this.
I don't give two fucks either way. I'm not that much of a technical stickler, unlike some other people on this call, to really care who pinned who had it first, because you know what? They're just proving the point that, hey, this is a reason to watch Monday Night Raw. The IC title match ended in controversy. Is Curtis Axel the real IC champion?
Pretty much, and well, when Curtis Axel did win, go ahead.
That's just, I was just going to mention, that's just kind of the start of an ongoing problem I had with the pay-per-view, but we will get to it in due course.
Yes, after the match, Curtis Axel got a huge ovation from the crowd tonight. They were behind him, and they were talking up how it's Father's Day, and he did it, you know, in honor of his father, etc., etc.
Jeez, one of the biggest pops of the night was the perfect flex.
Yeah, it was. As far as pops for a move go, yeah. We then went backstage. We have Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel walking down a hallway, and who shall appear but Triple H? Curtis tries to get by him. They just stare down a little bit, and then in walked Vince McMahon, and he congratulated Curtis Axel on becoming the Intercontinental Champion, and he actually congratulated Paul Heyman a little bit, too. Which was surprising.
Like by association?
For tonight, it is Father's Day, after all. So, we're left with Hunter and Vince talking, and Vince, you know, is looking forward to Curtis Axel and Triple H tomorrow. Hunter's having none of it. He doesn't want any part of that match. So the McMahon drama continues.
And this is all we got from them, which was a little disappointing.
Yeah, at least for me and Lindsay, we wanted a little bit more of the Father's Day moment between the two. It would have been interesting.
Personally, I'm happy with it, because we're going to get, like, at least 1.5 to 2 hours of it tomorrow night, so...
Pretty much. Considering that, I wonder why they even bothered putting it in.
Well, to get him on the show.
And it was the tease for, well, will they or won't they fight tomorrow?
Didn't we have that already?
Mm.
They're building a match.
Yeah, they're building to a match. How about that? Kind of, sort of. Speaking of building to matches, it is up next. The Divas Championship is on the line when Caitlyn takes on AJ Lee, Lindsay.
Holy crap! This was not what I was expecting, but it was so much better. And they got time. And they went everywhere. Like, when Caitlyn threw AJ over the announce table into their laps, holy crap. That's, like, all I can keep saying. This was a great match. I want more of these, please. Especially between these two. More. Want more. Now. And AJ Lee is now the rightful Divas Champion, as it should have always been. Thank you.
Can you follow that, Mace?
I can't really follow that, but I'll just add this. I like black and pink shorts.
Omega, your turn to top that.
My pants were happy in this match.
And why were your pants so happy? Mr. Fancy Pants.
Say it right. It's Mr. Fancy Pants.
He's between the couch cushions. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. I'm right with Lindsay there. This was an incredibly unexpected match. Extremely good out of these two. Are we sure AJ was sick?
Apparently she woke up sick. Whether that was actual sickness or just story sickness in terms of she was just sick and of Caitlyn, I don't know.
It seems like that's not the first time I've seen a superstar tweet about being sicker than they've ever been than going out and having the match of their lives.
She got better.
Once you pump them with those fluids, they feel so much better.
Dolphin, you're trying too hard.
I wasn't trying too hard until it came out of my mouth. Trying to just talk about IV fluids. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, this was a really good match. Like the countering of the moves, especially the counter into the Black Widow, which was fantastic. AJ on the top rope after Caitlyn missed the move, that was awesome too. These two
that
really,
was great.
They really put on a show. The finish had Caitlyn tapping out to the Black Widow. She attempted to get out, but could not. And then following the match, AJ Lee celebrated, and Caitlyn was in tears. The announcers were teasing that she was on a breaking point.
Isn't that the name of a pay-per-view?
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was only submissions, and so the whole situation from the first match would never happen. So
you have to bring up the first match again, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's going to be a thing tonight. Just pointing that out. So she cries after the match, and the crowd was like, "You're crying? Well, we just say you tapped out. You tapped out. You tapped out."
That ever so sensitive Chicago crowd.
Yeah, they were not. She was doing her damnedest to be, you know, cry and play it up big, and all props to her for that.
I'm sorry, you're going into a wrestling town against the hottest diva in years. In many ways.
In many ways. And she's crying, and they're just booing, and you tapped out. Yeah. That crowd. Yeah,
Chicago's a bunch of dicks.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Then you had Layla come out, help her to the back. She was still crying. She was crying more in the back with Natty and there was one other, I can't remember, maybe one of the Funkadactyls.
Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox, okay, thank you.
One of the black ones.
It was one of the black ones. So,
wow! Because that's not racist at all.
No, it's not. Not I thought it was the Funkadactyl. Anyway, she was crying. She was upset. So the story will continue that she's about to reach her breaking point and she may turn out to be the crazy one.
No,
Days of Our Lives melodrama bullshit. You lost, bitch. Get over it.
Yeah, we only need one Diva Looney Tune on the roster.
Can only handle the one.
Only need the one.
Only need the one. Well, we'll see what happens.
There can't be only one.
To see what happens tomorrow night. Any other thoughts on the match before we move on?
Good match. I see that they were at least trying to put on, you know, a really good, this was a really good match, and I hate to use this qualifier by WWE standards. Unfortunately, the women's match at the TNA pay-per-view was better.
Well, they had a better stipulation. They could use to make the match even better.
Yeah, because God forbid WWE ever try that.
You know, they're not going to do that. They're not going to let two chicks just go at it.
Yeah. they're not trained well enough as wrestlers to actually do that.
I mean, if you think about it, AJ and Caitlin are probably two of the best workers they have in terms of the women, and that's that they let work. Because let's face it, they don't let Natty work, which is a crying shame.
No, no, Natty works on NXT.
And again, on Superstar, crying shame.
And on Superstars.
Yeah.
And probably on the app.
That was the one thing that was missing from tonight. They had commercials in a commercial. Where was the 4,000 plugs of the app?
Well, there's no second Super Green experience needed since it's a continuous pay-per-view.
True.
Good point. It did come in handy for the pre-show, though.
Well, plus I think people were watching it on the app or watching it on or watching the show on the app.
Yeah, they were actually watching the you could buy the pay-per-view on the app, so you're already watching the app.
Yeah, just in case you need to watch it on a 5-inch screen.
Get better quality on that than other places.
Anyway, moving along. Other, but one other thing, during this match, this where we saw the Lita sign, the I Miss Lita sign, and the fans were screaming, there's no crying in wrestling.
It was amazing.
And something interesting, we actually got replays of a finish in a Divas match. That was different, too. Think about that one.
And then, so whoever was in charge of production tonight just got fired.
But speaking of production, this is where I throw it to Lindsay. Wyatt family promo.
Can't wait. I love how these keep getting creepier. It's like at first you think they're just, you know, zealots or in the backwoods or whatever, and they keep getting weirder and weirder and weirder and creepier. It's like they... I know the one from, I think, Monday gave me just goosebumps from it. This one didn't have the same effect, but it was pretty close. Like, I keep waiting. They keep showing that doll, and the only thing that would make it better is if the doll's eyes open. Just to, like, give people that holy shit kind of moment.
What about you guys? What do you think?
I think the eyes opening would be just a little bit of horror cliche.
But
yeah, but these guys are practically a walking horror cliche, though. This is Deliverance mixed with Halloween mixed with Friday the 13th.
What happens
that's
to...
That's what these guys are. That's the honest thing about it. Maybe House of 1000 Corpses, too.
Oh, yeah. So what happens to Daniel Bryan's nickname when the goat face guy comes?
They adopt him.
I could actually see that happening, which is scary.
Like, Brian just loses his shit, which he's already doing, and he goes crazy, and Bray Wyatt walks up to him and says, come, my brother, let us have a conversation.
It's more along the lines of, come, my brother, you have an epic beard. Join us.
Join us, won't you? So we had the Wyatt family promo, and it leads into the United States Championship match. Dean Ambrose taking on Kane. Thoughts about this matchup, Omega?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see much of this one. But what I did see seemed kind of slow for an Ambrose match.
Yeah, it was a little bit slow, slow, methodical, but that's sort of like typical Kane match, I guess the best way to put it.
Yeah. I guess it's weird. I've seen Kane so much with Bryan, I expect faster matches.
Because you're used to seeing Daniel Bryan be super fast, and then it sort of makes Kane look fast
in
the process.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgegoat.
Alright, Lindsay, thoughts?
I'd have to disagree. Kane definitely had his bursts of energy, and they definitely went to town. They had their slow moments, but they did a lot in this match, and that's actually the most active I've seen Kane in a singles match. in a really long time, especially when Ambrose decided to tempt fate, as it were.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that one.
And kind of tried to pull old school on Kane, and then Kane proceeded to beat his ass like a drum for about 5 minutes.
There's one thing you don't do. You don't do old school in front of one of the members of one of the Brothers of Destruction.
No, it's not even that. It's thou shalt not mock the Undertaker, especially in front of his brother.
Which kind of makes you wonder, was that a slight tease of something?
I was waiting for the lights and the gong, honestly.
So Mega doesn't think it leads to anything?
I think it was just a subtle reminder of what the Shield did to the Undertaker.
Okay. What are you thinking about all this, Mace?
Well, Rock, I think, giving you a pause so you can edit this in later when I actually see the match and then put it into the podcast version.
Okay, great comments.
And that's
Mace.
What I thought about the match.
Yeah, insightful comments by one Mace tonight.
I didn't even think about it that way. Wow.
He's stealing that now for the rest of the show that he didn't see.
So,
damn right.
So the finish was interesting and kind of surprising. Dean Ambrose wins via countout? Out of all the matches, this is the one match I didn't think would end with a screwy finish. What do you think, Lindsay?
Oh, I don't know. The IC title had a screwy finish, that's for damn sure. We can all agree on that at least. But yeah, this was different. And that's the one thing you can say about this pay-per-view consistently is that they went for really different and, in a lot of ways, unexpected finishes. And that's kind of interesting to see Kane lose by countout. You don't see that a lot, especially against somebody way smaller than him, i.e. Dean Ambrose. So I kind of wonder if this is going to lead to a further feud between Kane and Dean, since Bryan and Orton maybe moving on with each other, or what happens from here?
Omega.
I think the only way you really practically beat Kane in a situation like that is by count out. I mean, realistically, he should be extremely hard to defeat. Especially for someone like Dean Ambrose, who's giving up 100 pounds to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, I didn't find this finish to be really screwy so much as it was more... I'm weighing between clever and desperate. You know, it's one of those win-any-way-you-can victories, which, mm-hmm. in this situation, I don't mind so much, because it's the Shield. It should be a smarter finish. It should be something more schemey and clever. Rather than trying to overpower someone that, logically, you shouldn't be able to overpower.
This is true, and to start off this match, we got really loud, let's go Ambrose chants.
Oh, yeah.
And at this point, that was probably the loudest chant of the night. At that point in the show.
Till somebody else showed up.
Till somebody else showed up, which we'll get into in a little bit. So, coming up next, we heard something really weird. What's that sound we hear?
Omega crying.
The sound of Rob Van Dam? What? Is this even possible?
Okay, I thought this was one of those weird moments, like when I watch Raw, I get the UK streams.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was one of those weird moments where the show's gone to a commercial that's not meant to be played and like that doesn't play outside of US markets. And what the British do is they'll play video clips over the top.
Right.
I thought this is what was happening.
At first, I thought,
because it looked just like a very generic, like somebody had put together a really good Rob Van Dam tribute music video.
It was either a tribute video or something to promote, like a DVD or something.
Yeah.
But then at
the end, that's what I got from it. And then you get the ending point. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? That's Rob Van Dam's theme, and it says, wait, Rob Van Dam returns at Money in the Bank.
And the internet explodes.
So did that crowd. They were
those TNA's offices.
So we move along now to the world. Right. Omega.
Fucking Canuck.
You're welcome. Compose yourself.
My feed cut out during this.
You actually heard his heart break when he came back and we were talking about it. It was so sad.
So, for those who are new to this show, the man known as Omega is a really, really big RVD fan.
He wants to marry him.
He wants to marry him, basically.
Whoa.
Alright, just have his kittens. Anyway.
Is that even possible and legal in Florida?
It's not legal in Florida, no.
And if you're in Chicago, they're putting up ads where they're pregnant boy teenagers. That's another story, and that was on CBS.
Does that make sense?
It's supposed to talk about teenage pregnancy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to CB Radio. Anyway.
Not surprised.
Not surprised whatsoever, and that was a shameless shill on my part. So, when we got Rob Van Dam about, 5 years ago for the first time on this show, Mega was ecstatic. He got to interview Rob Van Dam, and now Rob Van Dam's back, and he missed the promo.
Yeah, we talked. Yeah, me and Spug talked the poor guy's ear off for like an hour, just because there was no set interview point, and you know we had no time bracket, and we're just marking out. That was our first big interview.
It was the start of many. Free agent can open up about anything, talked about anything. Go back way back in the archives and listen to that one, or listen to one me and Lindsay did on the Rack. At RackRadioShow.com.
Or you can find it easily in the podcast section of TGOmega.org.
We are such shameless shows. I tell you
can
what.
Can you guys open your legs a little bit wider? I don't think you're whoring yourself out just quite enough.
Any wider and they look like Lita.
Wider than Lita backstage at the Blackhawks game.
Where CM Punk wishes he was tomorrow. Anyway.
Yeah, he'll be working.
He'll be working. Anyway, back to the point. What do you think about Rob Van Dam returning?
About fucking time. Can he be used correctly now instead of wasting away in the mid-card because no one knows what the fuck to do with the guy in TNA? I can't wait to see him wrestle someone who's not Kenny King.
So he'll have a 7-match series with Alberto Del Rio.
Fuck. Who do you think he is, Biggie Langston? I was going through the list of names I wanted to see him wrestle.
All right, let's hear this list.
Oh, let's see. There was RVD versus Justin Gabriel. All
right.
There was RVD versus CM Punk. RVD versus Dean Ambrose. RVD versus Dolph Ziggler. RVD versus Daniel Bryan. Good Lord.
That sells itself right there.
Yeah,
That sells pay-per-views.
Where do I throw my money?
Here's one, Rob Van Dam versus Seth Rollins. Omega likes that one. Omega likes.
Can he beat Ryback for the right to use singlets?
Someone posted that. You know, that they should have a match. Who gets to wear those singlets again?
They should have. They should have like a Hulk gimmick where RVD vanishes under the ring and Ryback appears out the other side.
No, I can see it. After Money in the Bank, after whatever they're gonna do with Van Damme, he's walking backstage. He walks and you see Ryback just off to the side, and he stops and goes, "Cool singlet, bro," and just keeps walking.
So yes, we'll get into this more as the weeks go by, but Rob Van Dam is returning to WWE at Money in the Bank.
2 days before my birthday!
Right, it will be here in Philadelphia, so he'll get the CM Punk reaction. Big, huge ovation. Rob Van Dam returns to Philadelphia. So, we then move on to the World Heavyweight Championship match. Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. Fans love them some Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah.
About 4 minutes in, Big E got thrown out of the match. RVD champ broke out through the match. Someone was saying there was an Olay chant. I didn't hear that, but all I heard was an RVD chant. And then we got an interesting story being told. Dolph Ziggler and his concussion, Omega.
This... Honestly, I like... There was a story being told here, but I'm not quite sure what the goal of it was.
Was it to turn Dolph?
You and me both got the same feeling of a double turn. Right. In fact, earlier in the night, the announcers invoked that by mentioning Austin and Hart.
Right. And it wasn't because of the fans.
No, no. I mean, it was the way the match was booked, because Del Rio was extremely vicious in the match. Every other hit was a shot to the head.
Right.
Like he was seriously out to injure or cripple Ziggler all over again. And Dolph was very much... He was playing it very diehard. He was very, you know, shoving the trainers away, refusing to quit, refusing to stay down. It took so many shots for Del Rio to actually get a pinfall on him. And he came across as very strong, very resilient, very, you know, never say die, which is a very face way of wrestling.
It really is. It really is a face style wrestling. He was trying to become some.
It literally did feel like they were wrestling each other's match.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And then that ending, and.
And then we had that ending, yes. So, before we get to the ending, I should say, Lindsay, thoughts?
I thought this was a really good match. Ziggler was over like nobody's business. Not surprised, really. So, I thought it was really well done. And yeah, this is kind of an interesting story that they told, and I'm kind of wondering if they're turning Ziggler face, or if they're going to have the concussion sort of play more into it. Like, you know, Ziggler goes, "Well, I wasn't ready," or... Because I'm curious to see if that's how... I know he gets an automatic rematch, but I'm kind of curious if they use the concussion as a way to sort of invalidate the match. Or use it as a way to, I don't know, flip the decision because Del Rio purposely went for the head. And they're not supposed to do that. At least by WWE rules, they're not supposed to go for the head. And Del Rio was doing that, as we said, every other shot.
There's no rule against going against the head except on Saturday Morning Slam, which is off the air.
But still, the precedent is set.
Well,
even if it is for Saturday Morning Slam, it's still they don't do shots to the head with chairs. They don't do pile drivers. They don't do certain moves that affect the head and cause a concussion. And especially with somebody that's just coming off of concussion, that that's grounds for some interesting things to be said. And with all the stuff that they've been doing with concussions, there was an article on Yahoo either yesterday or today talking about WWE's concussion policy. Like, it was in Yahoo News on the front page. You went to the search engine and boom, there it was. So I think this is going to play more than what we think it is.
It'll be interesting to see it play up tomorrow night on Raw, simply because of it's not going to be anything that broke the rules. If it, anything that would break the rules, the ref would have called when it got too excessive. He didn't, so you know it's the referees say is final situation. But what it speaks of is Del Rio's intent and his just MO for the match, really. You know, did he go too far in order to reclaim that belt?
Mace, you want to chime in with an opinion?
Personally, just from the way that I was viewing this, I could swear a lot of this went into the referee's earpiece. Basically, the way I saw it, with the way that when we get to the finish, I'll explain it more there.
Explain the finish, because we're at the moment.
Well, with the finish, it seemed very sudden, and sort of going by the way Ziggler was holding his head and the way it was played out, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody backstage watching the monitors at the gorilla position noticed Ziggler's not right, we need to pull him out. But what are we going to do about the belt? We can't afford to have him out for another month. All right, call an audible. Del Rio takes it. Just tell him to finish. Which happens. Okay, I know it's something that seems unbelievable and doesn't work into what a lot of people will think, but this stuff does happen in these companies. They look at the big picture, and you know, if you've got McMahon there and he says, look, we can't afford to do this, you know, we can't afford to have our heavyweight champ out for another month while we get his head straight, he'll call an audible and say to the referee, all right, you tell them both, Del Rio tanks it, tell them to go home. It happens. That's what I reckon happened tonight.
I really didn't see it happening that way at all. I didn't see the ending of this match being sudden in the least, because it was the way Del Rio worked the match. He went for the head every single shot he could. I mean, they're playing up Ziggler's injury, to be sure. But I don't see it as an audible. I don't see it as something that they came up with on the spot or sudden. It was just a match where Ziggler was coming off a concussion. You know, and he, you know, we just got done with Triple H. I mean, are you really going to say that, you know, Triple H's head injuries were less severe than Dolph's? They had to play it up at least for consistency. But it wasn't the kind of match where it's going to come down to a big finish. It was a match where Del Rio was intentionally targeting Ziggler's head because he just came off a concussion. And it was just a matter of beating him down. There was no fight. There was no big spot finish planned. It was just beat him until he can't get up, which is one of the reasons why it felt like such a face Ziggler and a heel Del Rio.
I would have to agree with Omega.
Of course you would, Rock. Anything I say you disagree with lately, sir.
Hey, you already agreed with me once tonight.
Yeah, but that's not highly unusual. I'm not going to say you're right, but I'm not going to say you're wrong either. Your idea has merit, sir. But I just from the way I've seen it and seen these type of situations before, like, sure, Del Rio's whole thing and the way they structured the match was attack the head, attack the head. But the thing is, you've got a guy just coming off concussion. and you've got a match focused around attacking the head, who's not to say that one of those tacks have slipped and knocked him loopy again?
Well, who's to say that wasn't the plan from the get-go? You're just coming off a concussion.
To intentionally re-injure Ziggler.
Story-wise, yeah.
Story-wise, yes, just to target the vulnerable point on him. If they were really concerned about this, they wouldn't have targeted the head at all during the match. They would have given him a nice, clean match that didn't take any shots to the head. It would have been kind of Saturday morning slam mode in that sense.
They would have worked over the arm for the submission.
Yeah, they would have gone for the cross arm breaker.
I know exactly what you're getting at, but I'm saying, yeah, as a worker, I've seen these things happen. All it takes is one wrong slip, and bang, the guy can go from being 100% to back to being fully concussed. That's what I'm saying, is that maybe there was an error, like an accidental too hard hit with a foot,
but
or he's dropped his head on the thing.
Again.
Yes, I know much is centered around. Go on.
Look, if that was what happened, why would the final hit of the match be another kick to the head? Why wouldn't they go for the arm breaker if they thought his head was concussed again?
That, I don't know. I'm just saying, to me, it looks one way. To you guys, it looks another, which is fine. I'm not going to sit here all night arguing, or else I'm just going to repeat a Thursday.
Is that becoming a thing? Just asking. Do we have to make a hashtag about that?
I'll tell you something after the show ends, Rock. I'll explain that one.
Okay. Anyway, apparently, I'll get into that. Apparently there was a video on WWE.com about they're going to check on Ziggler in the morning about the concussion. So they're playing it up on WWE.com that he got re-injured. Apparently Mr. McMahon's in our chat room as well. Hello, Mr. McMahon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hire me. I can write better finishes.
So once again, so we don't forget, Lindsay, opinions on match, please.
I thought the finish was fine. Again, very clever, very interesting. They're playing with the concussion, and it could be something of maybe a little column A, a little column B. Ziggler may not have been 100%. They may have gauged him on SmackDown when they shot it. He may not have been 100%, or he could have gotten re-injured on SmackDown, and so they just kind of threw him out there, told Del Rio take some shots to the head and take the belt off him. It's going to be kind of interesting to see if Ziggler disappears again. So I guess we have to wait to see. Either way, they're building interest, and that's always good.
Del Rio came out after the match, cut a promo, thanking the fans for all their support, and they just booed the crap out of him.
Given how over Ziggler was during the match, does any other reaction sound possible?
No, and it sort of sounds like, to me, that was sort of, you know, thanking the fans in his own sarcastic way, sort of, and starts maybe a heel turn. Because clearly the babyface thing's not working.
God knows I need to do something with him.
Gotta get these people back to being what they deserve, like Orton heel, Del Rio heel.
Ricardo face.
Lillian Garcia
stealing Ricardo's gimmick.
Yeah, I said this last night. Like, seriously, she's speaking Spanish, he does English. What the hell?
Okay, I got it. Del Rio heel. Okay, Ricardo heel, but El Local face behind the boss's back.
There you go. Loophole. He found it.
If that means more El Local on our television, I'm happy for it.
I think he's worked more matches this year than Sin Cara has.
Honestly, you might be right.
That still makes me laugh. His action figure now comes injured.
You know?
Yeah, I saw that a few weeks ago. That was incredible. So on that note, we're going to take our first and only break of the evening. That's right, we're taking a break, folks. It's commercial time. When we come back, we will be talking all about the man who made his triumphant return to WWE. The one and only CM Punk. We will do so after the break. This is WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. We'll give out the winner, announce the winner of our contest later in the show as well. Stay tuned. This is WTR Sunday Night, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years... Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And now, haiku time, with René Dasodai and Some Dumb Aussie Git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio, home of Cheap Heat Radio, inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy talking, standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show, now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This Thursday night, the one and only Showtime Eric Young returns to The Rack. He joins us to talk all about his show Off the Hook Extreme Catches, returning back to Impact Wrestling full-time, Beer Gate, and even a little bit of hockey talk.
I think Chicago, at the very, very start of the year, I predicted New York and the Nashville Predators as a bit of a homer pick. But at the start of the playoffs, I kind of said, you know, if it's not the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is my other hockey team, I grew up in Canada, but I think Chicago will win it in six. That's my prediction. I'm hoping that in seven, because I just, you know, the more hockey, the better. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I just want the games to be good. And the first team, I think, will be considered a classic for years.
Tune in this Thursday night for The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You always remember your first, or however you want to put it, but, I was the pioneer, and copying is the... What's that say? Copying is the highest form of flattery. I don't know. It's beards are cool, and I don't blame the guys for growing them, that's for sure.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo!
Presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. So, as you heard, it is time to talk about CM Punk versus Chris Jericho Omega.
And all of our brackets are fucked.
Not mine. I did good on this one. I actually picked the fall. And if we go by what Lindsay did on the she had a very long explanation. Didn't you, Lindsay?
I hedged my bet. I'm not ashamed of it. Shut up.
Okay, so when CM Punk's music played, why did Hugh Jackman come out?
All right, let's get into that first.
Well, it's not too much longer till the new Wolverine movie comes out, so it must be in some slow promotional thing.
I don't care. Somebody needs to hold him down and shave those stupid things off. They look awful.
Lindsay, not a fan.
Do not like mutton chops. Very few men can pull them off. And when did CM Punk become Elvis? In the 60s. Actually, no, 70s. Those are 70s Elvis mutton chops. They need to go now.
Trying to bring in the new age of hair. You know, everyone's on beards now, and he's rocking the sideburns.
He doesn't need to continue Hairgate, okay? He can either grow his hair back, or he can continue to shave it. I don't care which he does. But mutton chops should not be included in growing your hair back.
I've never heard of playoff mutton chops. I just have it. It's playoff beards. That's all it is. It's not mutton chops. Because, you know, he's a big hockey fan, and hockey's tomorrow. So is Raw.
Maybe they're not mutton chops. Maybe they're hockey sticks.
Maybe they're hockey... There you go. There you go. They might be.
Is he booked for Raw?
You would think. But we have video or audio we're going to play in a minute about after we're done talking about the match. Oh, CM Punk.
As long as you mention that, can I...
Go, do it, go.
I laughed so hard when he had Jericho up for the GTS, and before he tried to drop him down, he shouts, Blackhawks in seven.
He was rocking the Blackhawks colors too tonight.
He was.
So he had the Blackhawks look, and the place went crazy for one CM Punk tonight. Which, well, was not surprising whatsoever. We had a bunch of near falls. We had a code breaker from the top rope when Punk came off. It got Omega thinking, there's all these moves, no one can get anything done, and Jericho could use one other hold, couldn't he?
I honestly thought he had to break out hold 1004.
And sadly he didn't.
He wanted to win the match, not annihilate CM Punk off the face of the earth.
So, general...
You think that'd count? Unless his ashes blew back in the ring before the 10 count.
So, general impressions of the match. We'll start with Lindsay.
It was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It just... It didn't have that oomph. It didn't have the kind of sort of the emotional investment to it that some of the other matches did. And, I mean, it seemed like, for a lot of it, CM Punk just really couldn't be fucked. Like, he came out there, he wrestled a good match, he put on a good show, he and Jericho did fine together, but it's like CM Punk's basically like, alright, I'm going to show up, I'm going to wrestle you, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go to hockey on Monday. And that's really what it felt like. I mean, it's like, it's just, it's kind of sort of, the whole thing felt meh to me. All royalties to Mace.
Mace.
What I saw was very well done. Lots of counters showing that these guys know each other very well, or have at least studied each other very well. I can't really comment on the whole match, because... Again, things went dead halfway through.
You just have bad internets. The one thing
Oh, no shit.
The one thing I can say is he looked really, really refreshed, Omega.
Yeah, he did.
He looked actually younger for some reason. If you look, think about
it. It was the scruffy hair.
It was the scruffy hair, and I think it was less bags under the eyes.
He's sleeping.
Yeah, that's a change.
Sort of, when you have three overtimes. I don't know how much you can sleep.
But, yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say that Punk couldn't be fucked in this match, but it was definitely a step or two behind their usual match. I'd say it's still a good match because of who you've got in it. It's Punk, it's Jericho. They're going to go out there and put on a match that you're going to enjoy. It just felt like they were going at half pace.
Well, one of the reasons it could have been is Chris Jericho injured his knee last night, or the night prior, whenever they had their last show.
Oh. Thank you for telling this after we criticized him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have to, you know, bring it all in. It was either the last show or was like, no, wait. It was Tuesday at the SmackDown TBC. He got injured. He's been working on a bum knee for the last few days. So it came out today. So that could have been a reason for the match being a step slower than normal, but you really couldn't tell he had a banged up wheel. All credit to him.
No, for the most part, they both did their job. You couldn't tell that Jericho was injured, and you couldn't tell that CM Punk had taken off so much time.
The beginning of the match, you know, slow pace, you know, they built up to and the finishes, the counters at the end were fantastic. I agree, there was something missing, and it was maybe sort of that whole, well, it's just them having a match. It wasn't, you want to see this guy beat this guy up. It was just a match. But that said, not one, but two GTSs allowed CM Punk to pick up the victory.
Wait, somebody actually went over in their hometown?
I know.
No kidding.
I know.
With no shenanigans, no afterwards, you know, screw things up thing, no nothing?
No nothing.
Clean?
Dead center.
The fuck?
Next you know, he's going to win on his birthday.
No, no, next thing you know, JR's going to be allowed to have, like, a celebration in Oklahoma.
You mean we're going to have JR's Appreciation Night in Oklahoma? What? So, yeah.
Well, we'll have it, but it just means he won't have his face shoved into somebody's ass like he has in the past.
No, that'll just be the cake. So, this is where we're going to change things up a bit, and we're going to play a little bit of audio courtesy of our friends at WWE.com. As soon as it decides to load and play.
I've never heard you call me your client before. You know? I'm not your client. Go ahead. What? Curtis Axel is your client. Curtis Axel needs your help. He needs somebody to guide him. I get that. And there was a time when maybe I needed you to guide me, but I was never your client. I was your friend. Now, Curtis Axel needs your help. Brock Lesnar needs your help. They're your clients. I'm your friend. Just be my friend.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
All right.
Reaction.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't hear it. I don't have the WWE app.
So, Heyman and Punk are breaking up?
They just want to be friends?
More Days of Our Lives melodrama bullshit.
Friendship is not magic.
Magic doesn't exist in this world.
You know, honestly, after hearing that, I would kind of like to hear Punk be like, I came back and I wrestled it for you because I'm your friend, but in the future, don't make matches for me.
And I think that's what it was leading to.
It's, I mean, because you would think, because I've been kind of saying that the whole time, and that would be the reason for Punk either not doing the match or not showing up is, I never agreed to it. Paul Heyman isn't my representative. I represent myself, but Heyman's just my friend, and he doesn't have the right to make a match on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I never agreed to wrestle Jericho.
Right.
So that's... I guess that's... And that's what I think I was expecting to see and wanting to see him do. Mm-hmm. Just be like, screw you all, I didn't agree to do this. I'll do it out of my friendship to Paul, but I never agreed to it.
Right. I think that's what it's going to lead to. Because there needs to be a reason why Punk's back. Maybe he was just back for the one night.
Could be. Because he's not booked for Raw, is he?
I don't think so, but that could change. He is booked for a show in Chicago on Raw in September when they come back to Chicago, so. I don't know, we'll see if he shows up tomorrow. He should, but you never know. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
I'm good.
Just looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Speaking where things go, we go right into the Shield taking on Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. Thoughts, Mace, from anything you saw?
Insert comment here at later date.
Lindsay?
Just have Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins work the match and leave Orton and Reigns on the outside. Just have Reigns come in to do his spear at the end. I mean, seriously, that's all you need to do.
Randy Orton tried to, like, throw one of them into the other with a fallaway slam, and he just completely, like, missed. Kind of nice. Just trying to, like, throw him onto him and just completely miss. What a mega thoughts. I'm sorry, Lindsay, you want to comment?
Oh, I was done. You're good.
Omega.
The match got better and better the less Orton was in it. this is, again, guys in WWE are being very stale right now because they are playing the wrong side of the coin. And Orton's one of the bigger ones. It's getting frustrating. But, yeah, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, save the match.
A step down from what we've been seeing on Raw?
Well, that was the one part that kind of bugged me. Because Daniel Bryan has been so on fire, a lot of his matches against the Shield have seemed very much the same to me. Because he kind of goes for that same practice sequence. It leads to the big torpedo outside the ring, which should be reserved, but he pulls it out every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. Daniel Bryan's little rushes against the Shield are very good. They're very intense. They're very fast. You can tell he is giving his everything into those matches. But when you give everything into those matches, you do everything you can, and doing it every time means we see the same thing every time.
We did, and when he did that dive out of the ring, he didn't hit a Shield member, because the Shield member pushed Randy Orton in front.
The Shield pushed each other out of the way, and Orton
pushed him in front, yeah. Okay, that's what happened.
Which is, again, Shield watching out for the Shield. I liked it.
Like that, the finish was, Daniel Bryan took a spear from Reigns. Reigns took an RKO, and then there was Rollins did a knee, and Daniel Bryan took the pin.
Don't forget how Bryan took the spear.
Set it up for the people.
Well, see, Orton was going for an RKO on Reigns. Got shoved off, almost rammed into Bryan, stopped short, and then, as Reigns was going for the spear, Orton turns around and it looks like he was supposed to throw him into Reigns for the spear, but it looked like it was a little bit mistimed, so he just kind of held him there.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it was a very... It was a very backstab kind of moment for Orton, which very much, if I'm trying to find the right word here. And, let's just say this. It's the opposite of what the Shield just did.
Okay.
It's very self-serving. That's what I was looking for.
There you go. So we have a little bit of tension now between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, Lindsay.
Yeah, and they've been building that. Obviously, the feud that's going to result from this is Bryan and Orton. We'll see more of that tomorrow, probably. Probably, maybe, not really, with Kane getting involved in some sort of fashion to calm Bryan down, but I doubt it. And that's fine. I mean, if Bryan can pull something good out of Randy Orton, I will bow down and worship him because, yeah. I hope to God it's good. If they split Hell No up and Bryan goes into a bad feud, I will cry. But, I mean,
The Shield got their win back?
The Shield got their win back. I was expecting them, honestly, to be a little bit more aggressive tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's, Bryan, Orton, and Kane hung their first loss on them. And Ambrose was aggressive, very aggressive, I would say. But Rollins and Reigns, not so much. So I really actually kind of wanted to see them come out there and just be the Hounds of Justice and do the old style beatdown that they did when they first came in and really just go to town on Orton and Bryan. But hopefully we'll get more.
The Shield retain the tag team titles. Now we move to the main event. 3 Stages of Hell. John Cena versus the Ryback. Ryback comes out first. They didn't care. John Cena came out, he gets booed. Ryback got booed. The crowd had no one to cheer. Which is
is it kind of bad when no one in your main event gets a bigger pop than the guy who isn't there?
Yeah, kind of is. And apparently we learned, thanks to Jerry Lawler, well, you can blame Canada for the concept of lumberjack matches.
Thanks, Tim.
One big surprising moment. John Cena can fly, Omega.
One moment to represent his entire career.
He can fly.
I have one good move, and it will waste the entire roster.
Well, to be fair, Man of Steel did open this weekend.
JBL referred to him as the Man of Steel, which is kind of a bad move, I think.
Well, they've been dropping Superman hints around him lately, so I think they're finally picking up on it.
Yeah, but they shouldn't acknowledge it.
Well, Ryback did it in a promo a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was a wrong move then, too.
I'm not disagreeing. Just pointing out the fact. Ryback took the first fall in the Lumberjack match. Yay! Which, if you picked that right, that was a great tiebreaker. We moved to the second fall, and this is where things started to pick up in the match. Right, Lindsay?
I would say so.
So we had a man using steps to break tables.
It's creative.
It's very creative.
It's not advisable, but it's creative.
And as everyone figures, John Cena wins his second fall via the attitude adjustment, Mace.
I was just happy to see Ryback do a table flip.
That made your day.
It did. Because it was a full-blown, one-handed, complete 180 table flip. I was happy.
So before we get to the third fall, John Cena goes through the announce table. So both men go through a table. And it wasn't the Spanish announce table. It was the American table.
And bad boy, didn't Ryback sell that table bump.
I know, right? What were you saying, Lindsay?
Bad form. Everybody knows you take out the Spanish announce table first. It's tradition.
Well, he's a man breaking tradition.
And who told him he could do that?
Tim.
Tim, you got some splaining to do.
When Tim Stein makes his grand return to Wrestle Talk Radio next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to those cheers from the crowd. You can hear it.
You didn't play the promo for it.
We're supposed to have a promo? That wasn't in the budget. Remember, it's a Tim Stein budget. Anyway, third fall. Ambulance match. One thing you should not do, punch hand through glass. Not smart.
Well, at least he didn't cut himself open like when Goldberg did it.
Because that's what I was thinking. Oh god, he's going to fuck up his hand. And for a minute there, it looked like he did.
And that's all we need for the Goldberg comparisons.
Apparently, this is just in. Breaking news. I will cause you grief for the shots. Really? You're going to cause me any more grief? Really? Really, Tim? Really? Just playing that out. Anyway.
Well, you know, if you want to call grief, you should really call in, Tim. Just pointing that out.
Anyway, third and final fall. They play around with the ambulance. Apparently it was gimmicked up really well because they were pulling things off of it.
I didn't know an ambulance came with a dozen crutches stored away.
You didn't? Apparently they do.
And I didn't know that you held ambulance doors on with, you know, tape. And you know, fenders that seem to be attached by bubblegum.
Well, to be fair, it is a City of Chicago ambulance, so yeah. It's probably not the most maintained thing in the world.
So they make their ambulances out of tinfoil?
Yeah. Well, it depends. Did the mob make it, or was it actually legit made? Because if the mob made it, then it's like just skimped everything.
Goddamn unions.
So, in a very creative finish, Omega, what happened?
Well, since we have a big metal vehicle, of course, the instinct is to somehow get the match to end up on top of it.
Right, and unlike Mike Awesome and the Insane Clown Posse, we were not throwing people off of it. We're sliding off of it.
Well, luckily, yeah, there's a flat surface, so...
Yes, they got lucky. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back into the Riffs section of WildTalkRadio.com. Anyway, continue.
So yeah, after the one spot I really liked, which was John Cena whacking Ryback with a light bar.
That just so conveniently came right up.
Oh yeah. Because he's Superman.
Exactly.
What are bolts? yeah, anyway. Ryback Cena on top of ambulance. Cena gets him up for the attitude adjustment, throws him down through the roof of the ambulance, and, well, he's in the ambulance, so that counts.
That does count. He was in the ambulance. John Cena retains the WWE Championship, Lindsay.
I thought putting him through the roof was pretty unique and different. It was definitely different than when he and Kane had the ambulance match and he AA'd Kane off the top, up in the side, and Kane fell through stage. Or he just hit the floor, I'm not sure which. But it's different, even if it is cheesy. I mean, it's a John Cena match. Would we really expect anything less?
Yeah, I don't think we expect anything less than cheesy, right, Mace?
Yeah, cheesy is one thing, but then again, we've gotten used to see him literally being Superman.
Go back 15 minutes in the match.
Look, I've read comic books. I've read Deadpool comic books recently that were based in reality better than this match. Okay,
right.
Just to give you an idea.
So, John Cena is still your WWE champion.
On the upside, does this officially take Ryback out of the main event?
Here's hoping.
Probably not. There are only, pay-per-view 3 of 7?
Something along those lines. So, that's the pay-per-view graded from top to bottom from what you saw, Mace.
From what I saw, I give it a C, but then again, it seems like I've missed the best parts of the pay-per-view, being, you know, the ending of the CM Punk match and completely missing all the Shields matches tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the moment, it's a C. Might revise that depending on when I see the entire pay-per-view in a proper format.
Lindsay, grade it.
I'd give it a solid B. I went into this with really low expectations, and I found the majority of it extremely enjoyable. I was really pleasantly surprised by quite a number of the matches, including the women's match. Mm-hmm. It made me really happy to see that they got time and they put on a really good show. It wasn't the normal divas screaming and hair pulling and that kind of thing type match. They went for it, and I have to applaud them for it. And overall, it was a nice pay-per-view. The main event was the only thing that turned out exactly how I was expecting it, and the rest of it was really well done, at least in my opinion.
Omega, grade it.
For me, it's a B-. Because there is a lot of good elements to it. It had a great Divas match, and of course, the Shield always delivers. for me, it had a lot of points where they were telling a good story, but something went awry in the telling. Like, it's, you know, between the feel, the double turn feel of Del Rio and that promo afterwards, where it sounds like he's still trying to be the fans got me here type hero, but he's also coming off very arrogant again. You know, it felt more like a, like an original Del Rio promo.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like there's some good matches in here. I felt like the main event was kind of lackluster, considering it's supposed to be three stages of hell. And I don't know, some of the stories just didn't seem like they were fully fleshed out.
Well, there you go. Now for Pick'em. Earlier I said we had two winners. It's just one, because I read it wrong. So, well, when I saw the name, I didn't think, you know, listener. Then I realized, oh yeah, he's still a listener. For the listener Pick'em version, Kane Kittens came out on top at 7-1.
Shenanigans! I call shenanigans!
There are no shenanigans because he sends me the picks.
Yeah, I'm going to disqualify him because technically, because he's the guy who's recording it, he's considered staff.
No. Because he sends in his picks like everybody else, he is a listener.
Shenanigans!
There are no shenanigans in this one. Just pointing that out. So congratulations, Kane Kins, you win. Your prize is a personal phone call with Tim Stein.
Wow.
It's what he truly wanted.
By the way, Lindsay, we're not playing nice anymore.
I gave up on that when Mace took the first shot.
So next week on air, Kane Kins will call in to claim his prize, a conversation with Tim Stein, as he makes his triumphant return back to the show. You can cause me grief now, Tim.
Get your best shots ready, Kane Kittens.
Because, you know, the phone call really won't last very long.
Well, not if Tim's controlling it, if you're controlling it.
Yeah, anyway. So as far as the actual pick'em goes, this is where we could call shenanigans because, well, I went 7-1 and so did Lindsay. But Lindsay's 7-1 has a lot of technicalities attached to it. In short,
did we get a revision on the riding the fence that happened on the rack?
Well, this is
it
where
was allowed through, apparently.
Did you pick a side?
Well, as it says in this little sheet I have in front of me, as per Lindsay's long explanation on the rack, if Punk shows, equals win. If Punk no shows, Jericho wins.
Punk shows, yeah, no. Punk wins. Technically, there you go.
Invalid.
We didn't get that option.
There shall be no riding the fence.
You didn't think of it, that's why.
No, because I actually turned around and I decided to stick with my original pick and actually write what it was.
The only reason I put if Punk no shows, Jericho wins was to put it out there so if Punk no showed and Jericho won, I wouldn't get crap over it. Just pointing that out.
Invalid.
Nope. My show. It counts.
Omega?
Don't mask me. Don't.
You're getting the glare right now, Omega, so...
So that's what the burning is.
Yes, that's what the burning is. Don't make me send the lamprey after you.
Oh, God.
So either in your mind, Lindsay went 7-1, or she went 6-2.
From the sounds of it, I think she went about 5.6.
Chat room says she went 6-2. At least Tommy does.
You're fired, Tommy.
Okay, well, look, if this is the case, well then, you know, next pay-per-view, I'm allowed to pick everybody, both sides, so that way, you know, it seems to be nice and legal to do that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, so I'm going to make my pick for the Del Rio-Ziggler rematch. If Ziggler wins, then I call Ziggler. If Del Rio wins, I call Del Rio.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not happening. So, anyway, in whatever world you want to live in, whether it's real or fake, Lindsay was either 7-1 or 6-2.
On my show, I went 7-1. The rest of it, I could give a fuck.
So, Thursday on the Rack, Lindsay will claim she went 7-1. Right here on WTR, we'll go with 6-2. Which leads to Scott Barry, Tim Stein, Tommy, Mickey, Mace, and Necro, and Stone all going 6-2. Rob and Matt Forsina went 5-3, and so did Omega and Subway and Jed. So you tied the Stoners, Omega.
Hey, that's better than I thought I'd do.
Like, just overall, considering the way it's built up, it's like we've got you at 7-1. There's a bunch of us at 6-2. Then there's another bunch at 5-3.
We had one at 4.
That really says something about the predictive powers of the WWE right now.
One person went 4-4, so there you go.
But still, the majority of the listeners and hosts combined was over a 0.5 average.
And most people got Del Rio and Ziggler wrong. In fact, only two people got that one right. Subway and Mickey. So.
But just think of this overall. Like, a lot of us were able to predict most of this pay-per-view. Like, at least 70-odd%.
Yes.
Now, I put this forward to everybody, including those in the chat room. Feel free to throw some opinions. Has it gotten that predictable now? Has WWE gone into such a pattern that things like this are possible?
Yes and no. Ryan, that whole fence thing, especially when it comes to Ziggler and Del Rio. We all predicted basically Ziggler to retain, and the surprise was him losing the belt to Del Rio.
I would have to argue that the predictability of this pay-per-view more comes from the fact that they really didn't put much effort into doing anything overly surprising with it aside from the Ziggler thing. They just sort of went for the status quo and the norm, and I think we're going to see the big push for Money in the Bank and possibly SummerSlam, where we see more unpredictability from them. But this was basically a throwaway pay-per-view, and they treated it like the throwaway pay-per-view in a lot of respects. It was well done, don't get me wrong, but it was like we were saying, it was predictable. It was, you could see the outcomes coming.
But at the same time, that's not a bad thing at times.
No, that's not a bad thing, because in the end, they furthered storylines, which is what they're supposed to do. They ended some and they furthered others, and we're going to move on to Monday Night Raw with a lot of questions, and we'll move on to the next pay-per-view.
Omega?
It feels like it's a lot more predictable than it should be. Because, yeah, that's a pretty high average, and that's pretty easily pegged, but at the same time, you know it's... Well, there's no other way of looking at it. I mean, a lot of what they do is predictable. I mean, you have Cena with the belt against Ryback. You know how that's going to go. You have the Shield with their newly won championships. You know how that's going to go. There's just a lot... There's a lot, especially this pay-per-view, where it's just... Yeah, you can see that coming from a mile away. And, you know, if only because, you know, we weren't really expecting this you know, and what seems like a double turn between Del Rio and Ziggler, if that's the direction that they plan to go with it. You know, if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for that, there really wouldn't be any shock in this pay-per-view. It's very indicative of WWE's personality these days, which is very much play it safe. No risks, no pushing the boundaries.
Yet we were left surprised by some of the events of the show. Predictable, but we get surprises. I guess that's a good balance.
Yeah, so it's a good balance. I just see the fact that there was such a big group of us going 6-2 that really gets me wondering. Just like we saw this coming, and it's like, are we getting to that point in time where the writers really need to step up their game and give us try and outthink what is normal?
But when they try doing that, it always backfires on them. If you think about it,
very true. So it was just a weird observation that I made by the way our predictions went. Like usually we have a nice little smattering of all over the place. This time it was all big groups.
Well, last month, because I went back and looked, there was a majority of us at 6-3 for Extreme Rules. So we kind of knew then too, but at the same time, they're going in the right direction with those people. They're not doing something where it's predictable, yes, but it's not giving it to the wrong people. The right people are going over. When for the longest time, especially on pay-per-view, the wrong people were going over just because.
And to be fair, we were able to predict it, but how many other people weren't? I mean, they're not writing the product for just us. They're writing the product for really the common denominator of fans. And sure, we're all smart to the product. We all kind of know what's going on. We can read into it. We can all look into it. But there were probably a large number of fans who were surprised, either pleasantly or unpleasantly, by tonight. And those are the people that they're really shooting for. They're not necessarily aiming their product at us.
Right.
And I think that's something that we kind of need to keep in mind when we talk about predictability and is the product getting stale. Is that we're not their target market necessarily. If they were keying into the internet wrestling fans, I think it would be different than just for the general fan base.
Good point.
So once again, we're getting to the point where having knowledge of wrestling is not good anymore.
I'm not saying it's not good. It's just we're not the ones that they're marketing to. They know we're here, they listen to us, they know that we exist, but as far as our opinions and our views on the product go, they really can't be bothered either way. They're more worried about the mass populace of fans, which, if you think about it, the people that potentially aren't in the IWC or aren't on the internet for wrestling probably outweigh those that are.
Now, at the same time, I'll throw this at you, Mace. Any of the picks you made, were you unhappy with the picks you made?
Not really. So I wasn't unhappy with the picks I made. Sure, I was disappointed when Punk came out and actually wrestled. I was like, oh, fuck, there goes one.
But at the same time...
You know, I was happy to wear that, because I stuck by my guns on that one, unlike other people.
But so basically, they gave you what you want.
Yeah, pretty much. They gave me what I expected.
And that's all you can really...
There's a difference between what I expected and what I would like to see.
Well, based on what they had, that they gave you exactly what you wanted out of that show.
Mm. Yeah.
And to be fair, I did stick by my guns. I hedged my goddamn bet and stood by it.
Yeah, I know. You made sure to staple yourself to that fence as hard as you could.
Yep.
By the way, you can hear her being more on the fence. There's a lump of meat right here on the rack. When she talks to Eric Young.
It's awesome. But I think that goes to show that as far as predictions go, that was really the only match I wasn't sure on because you just didn't know how it was going to go. You didn't know if Punk was going to show up because he wasn't saying anything on Twitter. He wasn't responding to Jericho. It was all very one-sided on Jericho's part. So you didn't know what was going to happen with Punk. You didn't know if he was going to show up or not. You didn't know if he was going to wrestle or not.
Right.
So it just goes to show that they at least got me on one of them. Because you just didn't know what was going to happen. And with Punk, he's entirely unpredictable.
Speaking of not knowing what's going to happen, Mace, you found something. Mind reading what you found?
Depends. Do I sound like a robot at this point in time?
You're good.
Good. Basically, Mark Henry has posted a couple of things on Twitter, and I read, and I quote, "Whether you loved or hated me in my career, I was always there for you. I appreciate you all. Good or bad, I will live forever with you, the fans." He follows this up with, and once again I quote, "I found a place, Raw, WWE. I have spoke to my family and hope to talk to all of you fans tomorrow live from Grand Rapids. Guys, Father Time is undefeated."
Now, last Monday night, we got a promo package, and the same one tonight, that the Hall of Pain is returning to Monday Night Raw. Those tweets sort of contradict that. Is this the end of Mark Henry, Mace?
That's what he's making it sound like. You gotta think, you know, especially with the sentence, "Guy's Father Time is undefeated," that maybe he's come to a conclusion that wrestling isn't what he needs to do with his life. You know, maybe he wants to go and spend what little time he's able to be the strongest man in the world and actually be that again. As we saw on the whole, when he was on SmackDown, you know, pulling two trucks, you know, stuff like that, like actual tough man contest stuff. Mm-hmm. It could be that he's deciding to finish up his time there, doing that, so rather than wrestling. But then again, who knows, with them playing the return promo, this could be a swerve. He could be retiring the Hall of Pain and concentrating on the title for all we know.
Or he's realizing he's just too banged up, Omega.
It's the return of sexual chocolate.
If there was ever a time for him to return that character, it was last Monday during the Caitlyn segment.
Omega.
I really don't like when they telegraph that kind of thing because it's just begging for someone to come out and say, "Well, you're taking your ball and going home." And you know what? Maybe I'm not ready to retire. Maybe I've got one more induction to the Hall of Pain left in me.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of what I was thinking. What do you think, Lindsay?
It's hard to say. I mean, there were rumors of him retiring when he got hurt before now, right before Mania, when he wasn't coming back. And so he's been there a long time. He's becoming injury prone, and it could be one of those things where maybe he does want to retire and he wants to move on, either to do the strongman contest or to go home and spend time with his family, or it's a swerve and he's retiring the Hall of Pain and he's going on to something else. Or he's going in a completely different direction. We don't know.
Right.
And it's definitely, I think, more he's teasing for people to watch, where it's he's making people think he's going to retire, and so people will watch to potentially see that. And, oh, hey, look, he's not really retiring. Or he does a pseudo-retirement, and somebody walks out and says, "Oh, no, 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 you're not allowed to retire, not yet. I still have issues with you, and I still want to fight you," kind of thing.
Right. So I guess we'll see you tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. With that being said, it's time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the host as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the winner, Stone Cold Sexton.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And on this week's Great Debate, up first, Ric Flair takes on Chris Jericho. Mace.
See, this is one of those interesting ones to take. Like, Jericho as a character is always entertaining. Flair as a character is always entertaining. When it comes down to titles, to be honest, the only times you ever really remember Jericho as a champion was when he became the first Undisputed Champion and when he was the Cruiserweight Champion in WCW. When you think of Ric Flair, you think 16-time World Heavyweight Champion, 4-time divorcee. when it comes to championships, Flair's one of these guys that you always associate with a big gold belt of some description, with some sort of, you know, lettering that inscribes wrestling upon a belt. You know, NWA champion, WWE champion, stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm giving it to Flair only because Jericho is champion, not as rememberable as Flair.
Lindsay.
I've got to agree with Mace. Flair, Jericho is champion. I remember when he won the Undisputed title, but that's really, aside from the IC title wins, because I never really saw stuff in WCW, so I have to go off as WWE stuff. Aside, at least for me, those two wins, he doesn't seem like that memorable of a champion, but you think of Ric Flair, and Ric Flair really set a standard for champions, especially world champions, to follow. I mean, how many people emulate Ric Flair? Mm-hmm. It's I don't really think there is a comparison against the two, sadly, and I've got to go with Flair on this one.
Mace, who did you pick?
Flair.
Flair. So we got two for Flair. Omega, you gonna defend Chris Jericho?
I've got 16 reasons why I can't defend Jericho on this one. I mean, that's kind of a huge number in the business. But
16 is not WWE.
I take that to be better because he was a world champion on multiple companies. He's been the champion for both the big dogs in the game. Mm-hmm. Jericho, not so much. He was the WCW champion for 20 minutes.
So it's a clean sweep for Ric Flair?
Hate to vote Jericho out, but some things that have to be done.
Quote Flair from, you know, the anonymous chatter.
And as usual, unless he has called in, we don't care.
Like, his vote mattered since it was already Flair. Up next, Shawn Michaels takes on the legend killer Randy Orton. Lindsay.
Shawn Michaels. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's kind of the same argument for Flair. that it is for Michaels. Michaels has set a standard. He set a precedent as champion. I don't even remember Randy Orton's title reign.
Title reigns. But before we get to that, we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to WTR Sunday Night.
Ric Flair.
Is that all you have to say?
Bram.
So, mystery caller, anything else?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. You're going to stay on the line, mystery caller, for a little bit?
Why not?
Okay. Continue, Lindsay.
I mean, that just kind of says it all. I don't remember any of Randy Orton's title reigns. I remember Shawn Michaels. I'm going with Shawn Michaels.
Okay. Mace.
Michaels, so no contest. How many times have we seen that boyhood dream clip?
Too goddamn many times.
Shush you, it's not your turn. Wait to be called upon.
Just answering his question.
Done, so.
Omega.
Boyhood dream goes to the Michaels.
Jeez. Which one's the one that's shit in the Divas bag again?
Shawn Michaels.
Okay, so I'm picking him.
Okay, Shawn Michaels moves on. I should get the mystery caller. Mystery caller, opinion.
The guy who kicks Stan.
The guy who kicks Stan, okay. So Shawn Michaels moves on in the Great Debate. To finish off round one, next week it is Brock Lesnar versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan takes on Sheamus in the Great Debate next week. Now it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Apparently Mystery Caller doesn't want to stick around and play Quick Hits. I think he's scared. Anyway, Lindsay, you're up first.
Okay.
If you could have a shopping spree to one store, what store would it be and why?
That's hard. Think about it for a second.
Okay.
Honestly? I would say probably Target.
Why?
Because I need a lot of new stuff. Clothes, furniture, yeah.
Not IKEA?
Not IKEA, although IKEA would be fun, but that's just furniture. Target has everything.
And it's a step up from Walmart.
And it's a step up from Walmart, and I could also get my grocery shopping done. So it's like a win-win.
So you would like the Walmart we have here? We have food here in our Walmart.
Well, our Walmart has food too, but so does the Target. We have a Super Target.
Ah, okay. Mace, if Kevin Bacon killed somebody, would he be convicted of 6th-degree murder?
Of course.
No,
it always links back to Kevin Bacon. So if he did the murder, of course, somebody will know.
Yep.
And somebody will know somebody who knows 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 Kevin Bacon.
Gotcha. Omega. Which do you think you have a better chance of doing? Dunking a basketball on an NBA court? Or driving a golf ball 300 yards?
Why couldn't you have asked me the Kevin Bacon question? I actually connect to Kevin Bacon.
Alright, we're not guy here to boost your ego.
It's not an ego, it's a fact.
Again, we're not here to boost your ego. God, you do enough of that on TJ Omega. That work. Answer the question.
Let's see. Probably driving a ball because, for starters, I don't think I could get onto an NBA court to save my life. Not without some covert breaking and entering skills I'm unaware of.
So you'll be able to drive a drive a golf ball 300 yards.
I've got a better chance of it.
Okay.
Because aside from breaking into the NBA court, I also have to drag a trampoline with me in order to dunk anything.
Because as we all know, white guys can't jump.
White nerds can't jump.
There you go. Lindsay, you are forced to sing karaoke. What's the song you choose?
Oh, hold on. Oh, I know who it is. Done by the band Perry.
Why?
Because I love that song for so many different reasons.
Alright, there you go. Mace, would you rather be attacked by 1,000 one-pound ducks or 1,000-pound duck?
Interesting. See, there's multiple thoughts on this subject. I'm actually contemplating this and trying to weigh up the options. You see, 1,001-pound ducks would be quite easy to beat the shit out of. Especially because you never actually indicate in which way they attack, so they could line up one by one and I could just punt them like they were dolls.
Or they could surround you. You never know.
Well, they could surround me and they still get punted. They only weigh 1 pound after all. However, the 1,000-pound duck would be a good challenge, and if I defeat it, I could feed a country. First duck.
Well, to be fair, you could feed a country with the 1,001-pound ducks, too.
You could.
Yes, but I've had quail in my lifetime, and considering they're about the same size and volume that you're talking about with 1 pound ducks, there's not that much meat on them.
I thought they were more like Cornish game hens, honestly.
Either way, they don't have much meat.
Still, meat is meat.
True. You know what? I take on the 1,000-pound duck. It wouldn't move that fast, so be easy to kill.
Right.
And we can do a spit roast afterwards.
So this leads now to Omega.
I just checked to see if Left 4 Dead had a duck mod.
Does it?
No.
Damn it.
So, Omega, you are known for knowing lots of things. Give the people 5 tips on proper fingernail grooming.
Someone's watched my video.
Yep.
Ish.
Available now at youtube.com/TJOmega.
Well, tip number one is you go very carefully with the cleaning. That way you don't scrape into the quick and ruin your day. 2 is don't cut them too short because fingernails are useful for things.
Like what?
Like getting into very small crevices or prying something open that is otherwise unreachable.
Okay.
Number 3 is round up the corners because it's a bitch when they hook on something. I'm a guy, so I'm trying to think of more than that.
Four, applying lotion daily to your hands avoids hangnails.
Does it?
Yes, it does. Keeps your cuticles moisturized.
I was not aware.
He's now going to do this, you
I'm expecting the video on YouTube, actually, in about 2 hours.
No, I am not Metro enough.
5, don't put too dark a polish on your nails, or don't leave it on for too long, because otherwise they can't breathe, and then they become brittle.
See, that's one I would not know.
Alright, so Mega, I need 2 more from you.
Shut up.
Lindsay's 2 do not count.
Literally, that's all I have, because that's all I ever do for my nails.
So, anyway.
Be surprised. Hey, you're surprised you got 3 out of me. Be honest.
Yeah, kind of am. So, this is where we shamelessly promote. Omega, you just put out a video. Tell people about it.
One of my most common questions is, how do I get into reviewing, and can you give me any kind of tips and helpful advice on how to improve them? Well, I decided, since I can't answer every single one, I give a video for everyone as a blanket answer, which is my 10 rules of reviewing. Everything you need to know to get started in filming your own little webcast on whatever criticisms you would like to do.
And they can find more about it at tjomega.org or youtube.com/tjomega. See? Quick hit can be useful. They can plug stuff. Speaking of plugging stuff, Mace, plug some stuff for you.
Starting this Friday, if I remember correctly, MarioMarathon.com goes live with their annual Mario Marathon of gameplay, raising funds for a Child's Play charity. As usual, go to MarioMarathon.com. They have all sorts of ways you can put payment through, credit card, PayPal, firstborn child, whatever. Let's see, what else can I promote? That's right, little video things that just happen to be sitting on our website over at WildTalkRadio.com, where I talk about E3 press conferences, because I need practice. And I did it in front of a camera, which is really scary, because I'm an ugly motherfucker.
I just found it really odd. You did a video, right? And then Omega put out these 10 tips on how to be a professional reviewer.
Yeah, I know. The timing was actually quite amusing. Because, you know, if I had waited a week, I could have used those tips. Because I watched through it, and I'm like, shit, I fucked up that one, and that one, and that one. But then again, I do all my stuff in one take using, you know, straight video capture software. I don't have any fancy video editing software. I don't even use Windows Movie Maker. But yeah, so over at WildTalkRadio.com, E3 impressions, please go and have a read. Well, I can't exactly read them. You watch them. You watch them, and you get to see me like flail around like Kermit the Frog.
Well, there you go.
Other than that, at the Macing on Twitter. Don't add me to Facebook, because I don't like you.
Tomorrow night, my Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, and myself and Lindsay Ward. We recap Raw about 45 to 1 minutes to an hour, depending on how much news comes out of the show. Tuesday night, KV Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik on the show, Ron Simmons, MVP, and Savio Vega. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, Scott Barry and Matthew Forsino. Lindsay, Thursday, Iraq, 11 p.m. Eastern. What's happening?
We have the one, the only, Showtime EY, Eric Young, on the show. He's going to be talking to us all about his season 2 of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, which debuted tonight. He bit an octopus in the brain. It was really kind of disgusting, but yet manly at the same time. So bravo to him. We talked to him for about 35 minutes about fishing, about Impact, about hockey, about beards, about everything. So tune in, listen. We're also talking all about Impact. We'll be talking a little bit more about Payback and any other news and notes that come out.
Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway Weird, Wacky, Unusual. Usually we've been playing Cards Against Humanity. So Blame the Jews, Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with the triumphant return of one and only Tim Stein.
So, and next week, not appearing on the program, Lindsay, Omega, myself, or Rock.
Well, Rock will be here. He just won't be talking.
I just won't be talking. So, anyway, sort of like Tuesdays. Anyway, Lindsay, plug your Twitter.
Follow me at Twitter on at Lins Ward.
At Twitter, at Lins Ward. Okay.
Yes, on Twitter, at Lins Ward.
And anything else?
Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, go to CassidyRiley.net, and Mace, you are not ugly.
Oh, so do I have to plug TGOmega.org one more time?
Yes, might as well.
No.
Fine. Check out WTRProductions.net. We'll see you next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com for Lindsay, Mace, and Omega and the Mystery Caller. I'm Sir Rock. We'll see you once again this week, live 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.